On this episode of Post Game Shake, we bring on Tampa Bay Lightning forward Matthew Joseph to talk about his path to the NHL and what he's doing to get ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Welcome back to Post Game Shake episode 22. We've got a great show for you today. Another great interview with an NHL stud. But before we get to that and much more, Muzz, how are we?
Good, man. My mind's in a little bit of a pretzel right now with all these brackets that I got going on. But
yeah, so that's BS because I thought I was winning one of my brackets and someone in that I'm competing against put in like 10 of them, literally their name and the number 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 10. And I was like, well, I guess if you fill a 10, your chances of winning are higher.
Wait a second. In what pool is this?
This is for work.
Somebody at your work put in 10 brackets?
Yeah. I'm exaggerating, like 7, but still. Over three,
did they pay for each one?
Over 3 is too much.
But if they paid for each one, it's proportional.
Yeah, they paid for each one, but come on. Like, that's so just.
I know. It's brutal. But at the same time, if you're willing to risk, what, $10 a guy or $10 a bracket, $70, like, you don't care that much.
Yeah, I guess.
If you care $70 worth, you care too much.
I think.
Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, are any of
you? And you're still probably going to lose.
Your bracket and the one that we're competing against looks pretty decent right now.
Dude, it's so bad, but the fact that I still have my two national championship teams is crazy. It completely changes everything. I have the second highest max points for. I forgot how weighted the championship game is.
Yeah, huge.
So I have a chance. I mean, we talked about in the past, I thought I was done for. And in this bracket and Holtz's that he's raising the money for him running the marathon, which is coming up quick. We might have to do some coverage of the marathon.
I think we have to do some coverage. I actually almost invited him to join us and talk to us about the marathon training, but he was like, nah, rather not talk about it.
maybe we drag him on next week. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, it would be pretty funny.
But so, anyways, yeah, I'm alive. I have Michigan State in 2 out of my 3 brackets, so it's looking okay for me.
Yeah, all those games were pretty interesting this weekend.
Yeah, obviously Duke going down is a big one.
Yeah, that definitely knocked out a lot of people, which we talked about last time. I'm always a fan for kind of rooting against the Goliath, but if they win, they're fun to watch. So it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, and I'm just so not up to date on basketball stuff. Obviously, I love the March Madness, but I didn't even realize it was Michigan State Duke.
Yeah.
Until the game was on. I was like, oh, why would I? Because I had mentioned that I was like pro Duke, but my national champion is Michigan State. I can't root against them.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get to all that stuff, we had a great interview today or last week, which is airing today with Matthew Joseph of the Lightning. No, that was a big one for us and one that you've been kind of looking forward to.
Yeah, I love Matty. He was one of my friends at Tampa, development camp. And just kind of followed his progression, and the kid's killing it. He's finishing up his first rookie year with the Lightning. So I reached out to him, and he seemed pretty pumped to come on. So we were pumped to have him. And I don't know, we've been lucky, dude. We've had some awesome personalities, and he's another really outgoing kid. So something you guys will enjoy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So without further ado, here is our interview with Tampa Bay Lightning forward Matthew Joseph.
Joining us today on the podcast is a Quebec native who represented Canada at the 2017 World Junior Championship. He was drafted 120th overall in the 2015 NHL entry-level draft. And after his first pro season with the Syracuse Crunch of the AHL, he's now finishing up his rookie year with the Tampa Bay Lightning. One of my favorite people I met in my hockey career. Welcome to the podcast, Matthew Joseph.
What's up, boys?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Doing good, dude. You're living the dream in Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah, it's good weather.
One of Muzz's favorite people, huh? Jeez.
One of my favorite people.
Yeah, eh?
Yeah, that's a lot of
yeah,
people.
You got changed there, Timmy.
Seriously, yeah. I'm sitting right next to him right now, and I feel very shortchanged. So I gotta take some notes from this interview.
Timmy takes a lot of offense when I refer to anybody else as one of my best friends, because Tim takes pride in being one of my best friends.
Perfect.
That is just such a lie.
I have to be a little sensitive about it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
So what are you up to right now? You guys got a game tomorrow night?
Yeah, we get a couple of days off. We played on Monday against the Bruins, and you know, we just got back. You know, we're in Tampa actually, but we're playing tomorrow against the Caps, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Practice today, and you know, normal day.
Now, why did you guys have like 5 days off? I was kind of confused by that.
Yeah, I know. We had a weird schedule this year. We started the year, I think we started like a week after everyone, like your season. And, you know, that was crazy because everyone was playing and, you know, you're excited for the season to start. And, you know, we started so late after everyone seeing all the hockey games starting, and we're all watching that the next morning in practice, and we're like, oh my, holy fuck, we're playing in 5 days. So we had a couple of stuff like that, like, you know, 3-4 days off well, not necessarily all days off, but, you know, practice day and rest between couple games. So, you know, our schedule was kind of weird about that this year, which makes it fine too. You know, a couple of days off doesn't hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. With the season winding down, are you doing anything differently? Are you kind of taking care of your body in a different way? More rest, more recovery? Is our practices different? Like, is there any difference from now kind of towards the tail end leading into playoffs than there was in the beginning of the season?
I mean, I think we have a little bit more days off recently. You know, after 75, 78 games, you know, it's been a grind, and you know, they know their guys are tired, and you know, we're able to play consistently this year, but you know, I think they understand that we're getting tired, and we want to, you know, keep our momentum for playoffs for sure. So you know, we're practicing hard when we have to, but you know, the practice aren't the longest, and it's more for you know, keeping staying in good shape and in game shape most of the time.
Nice, man. So we want to get kind of like your story a little bit, and then we want to talk a lot about where you guys are at, because obviously you've had a ridiculous season, and I don't know how many points you guys have, 120 something. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I think it's 120 or 122 around that.
So you're okay. Am I saying this right? Quebec or Quebec? How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's fine. Honestly, I think Quebec. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
In French, we say Quebec. So like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right. So you're French Canadian.
Yeah, I am. I am. And that's where my accent comes from.
Yeah. No, I like that accent. It's cool. I
couldn't tell.
Yeah. No, you can definitely tell.
No, what accent?
Yes. So do you speak French and obviously English and anything?
Yeah,
else?
Yeah. Trying to speak English when I can.
Yeah, you sound good, man. So take us through, like, I want to hear just a little bit about coming up in Quebec, and then we really want to dive into a lot of like World Junior and then kind of like junior and pro stuff. What'd you do growing up? Like, how'd you end up where you were?
I was on the South Shore in Montreal, close to Montreal actually. And, you know, crazy story. Like, every time I made the team, I made the best team in, like, growing up, but I was always like the ninth four my first year, or like, you know, in Bantam and Pee-wee, you're like, I was super tight on making teams, always the last guy making it. So, you know, my first couple of years, and I've always been pretty small when I was younger. So, you know, I didn't make major AAA my first year. That was a big deal, not making it. So, you know, it sucked back in the day. I got drafted in junior by St. John, even though I wasn't playing major AAA. So that was, you know, I had a good season.
That's cool.
It's called Midget Prospect in Quebec. And it's like all the guys who are 15-year-old, well, they can play in this league. So basically the guys who didn't make major AAA in general. So, you know, playing the league, playing Midget Espoir and Midget Prospect in English, and, you know, had a pretty good year, got drafted third round in St. John. And, you know, after that, it just kind of rolled a little bit. And, you know, I played Midget AAA the year after, didn't make St. John my first year, but halfway through the season, they call me up, and, you know, I end up staying and, you know, played 16 half of the year, 17, playing on the fourth line most of the time. And, you know, I had a talk with the coaches about my role and stuff. And, you know, I kind of kept improving, but like I said, I wasn't big at all. So, you know, I got to be strong. I made myself a little bit more stronger and, you know, worked hard and, you know, got drafted that year. And, you know, we met that year when we were in Tampa.
What are you at right now, like, weight-wise?
Like between 180 and 185, I would say. Maybe, yeah, 185, I would say.
Yeah.
Got drafted.
You got to round up, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Attaboy.
Was that?
187 on a good day, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Was the Q kind of always the road that you – if you excelled at hockey, knew you were going to go? And is that kind of the norm for a kid and kids you played with growing up? Like, did all the best kids go to the Q, or was it kind of a little bit of both? Some kids go to the O, some kids go to the Q.
Yeah. I mean, the guys in Quebec mostly go, they all mostly go to the Q if they can. Because, you know, I wasn't really French that much, English that much, you know. I just learned English when I got to St. John, which is when I was 16, 17. So, you know, the fact that I was thinking maybe to, you know, go into school in the States or, you know, go NCAA was hard for me as a full French guy. Like, it's kind of hard. So most of the guys are, you know, that can play in the Q are usually trying to go to the Q. And, you know, after doing one camp, you can't go NCAA. So you kind of have to decide that, you know, earlier.
That's all it takes is one camp and then you're not.
I think it's, you can't stay for more than 48 hours or something. So
that
it's like
crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then the other rule is the Q is that it's based off people in Quebec, right? You can't. Can you get drafted? Could you have gotten drafted to the O?
I think you can get drafted to the O if you're, what's the word? If they put you on waivers, kind of like if
right.
they liberate you from the Q draft, I think you can get drafted there. But if you're from Quebec and you're not not drafted at all, then usually they wouldn't even consider drafting you in other leagues. So it's kind of a different and, you know, weird process. But you know, Q is usually when if you're from Quebec or the Maritimes, you know, where St. John, you know, in New Brunswick and Halifax and Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, you usually get drafted to the Q too.
Gotcha. So you kind of had an interesting experience with the Q because you were there for essentially 4 years, right? You got called up.
Yeah,
in the first
three and a
year.
Half.
Yeah, three and a half. So you kind of had the 4 year, you know, quote unquote college experience, and you just mentioned that you and your coach had a good talk about your role and stuff, and you improved point wise and everything. But it kind of culminated in your big 2016-2017 year, U20, and then making the Memorial Cup as a team. Kind of talk about that conversation you and your coach had, and why you think that, you know, led to some of the success you had later on.
Yeah, well, my coach just didn't re-sign with us when I was 17. So after I got drafted to Tampa, you know, I think it was Ross Yates, he just didn't sign with us again. So we changed coach when I got to 18-year-old, just after I got drafted to Tampa. And, you know, he met with all of us when we were 18. And the cool thing is, you know, when I was 16, we were shit. Like, we were brutal. We had a bunch of guys. We had a bunch of guys that were super young, and it's not that you know, we didn't have any good players. It's just that we were so young. So, you know, we all got drafted that year together, and you know, we had five or six 16-year-old when I got to 16-year-old. So, you know, it was crazy because when we were 18 and 19, it was the same group of guys. You know, no one really got traded. We added like maybe two or three guys for a deep run to the Mem Cup. In the President's Cup, but in general, it was like the same guys for 4 years. So, you know, that was cool, and it was easy to talk to the coach about it as the leadership group, right? When we all know each other and we're pretty tight to each other. So, you know, that kind of led to saying that, hey, this year we want to win. And, you know, I think we could have won when I was 18 too, turning to my 19-year-old, but, you know, we just fell short. And, you know, that I got injured. That, not saying we would have gone better with me in the lineup. I'm just saying that I remember getting injured and the boys battled really hard and, you know, lost in the conference final. So, you know, that was almost two cups in a row.
I bet. And then just kind of continue on that 2016-2017 season. So let's just hop right into World Juniors. You make the team. It's hosted in, you know, in Toronto and Montreal. So
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So what's that whole experience like? Well, A, just, you know, going to camp and knowing that you made the team, but also knowing that the tournament's being played in Canada and there's a lot of eyes on you guys, you know, as 19 and 20 year old kids.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most stressful weeks of my life, to be honest. You know, I think you didn't have much to show what you had. You know, I went to the summer camp during the summer and there's 40 guys there, but there's obviously like 30 getting invited for the actual camp in December. And, You know, I was kind of worried a little bit because of my Subway series. You know, we had that Canada-Russia series earlier in November, and, you know, I didn't think I played that well and stuff. So, you know, it was good to be invited to World Juniors. I think I had a pretty good year so far before World Juniors. That definitely helped. And, you know, that camp was man, I was so nervous at that camp. It was crazy because the way they cut, like they made cuts with Hockey Canada is they call you. So basically you have after the game when they announce that there's going to be cut, and basically you're in your room and you have to pack everything in case you get called. So because you have like 3 minutes to go down, like you can't pack when you get the call. So you're basically with your roommate in the room waiting for the phone to not to not ring.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh,
so
and
what do you do? Are you just you stare at a wall, or you try to?
Like... Dude, I was literally swiping Twitter. That's all I was doing. I was like refreshing Twitter. And yeah, basically I was in a bubble, kind of all tuggled up in my sheet, like looking on my phone, like in talking the about it makes me nervous like, right now.
Please don't ring.
Yes, please don't ring. And you know, I was with the guy who made the team the year before, so if it was ringing, it was me.
Oh my god! That's
so
roommate,
I was
man.
That was so, yeah. So I was so nervous, man.
Who,
and,
who was it? Who was the roommate?
It was Mitchell Stevens. Actually, you met him. Yeah,
yeah,
you know
Stevens,
Mitch.
He was at camp.
Yeah. He was at camp. We were roommate.
How's he doing? Where's he at right now?
He's in the A. He's doing good. He was injured at the beginning of the year a little bit, but I think he came back a couple weeks ago, and I think he's doing well. Well, Syracuse is doing awesome, so.
Nice. Dude, that's
yeah, cool. And then, after that, you know, when we make the team, the guys in the hallway, we all, like, hug each other and stuff, and boys were yelling, and it's pretty cool about it. And, you know, we were excited. It was in Canada, and I knew I was going to play home if we made to the finals. And, you know, playing Toronto was awesome. We had a little bit of time in Tremblant before, close to Montreal. That was cool, too. We were three guys in a room, and, you know, we had big rooms and playing cards with the guys. And, you know, that we had a good bonding before the tournament started. And after that, we got to Toronto and get things going. And, you know, we lost in the final to the States in a shootout, which was a crazy game. And
we kind of want to bring that up because you scored to make it 4-2 in the third period, and I want to know
that was so loud, man. That was the loudest I've ever heard.
Dude, you've
heard
played on some big stages playing in the queue and stuff, but I can only imagine what it's like to play that World Juniors on your home country.
Home province. Right, like a lot of people you know there, and gold medal game
Dude, honestly, I remember they scored like a couple minutes after, I would say 5-6 minutes on the clockwise after I scored, and but those 5-6 minutes we couldn't hear ourselves talk on the bench. We couldn't literally not talk to the guy beside you because like it was too loud in the building. And you know, we were they did an unreal comeback. I gotta give them credit, but you know, that was disappointing for sure after winning by 2 goals in 13 minutes left or something, you know, that was a tough ending, but, you know, great experience in general. I would redo that any day.
Dude, as a hockey fan, that game was awesome to watch.
Man. Oh, yeah, I bet, man.
Just
it was
so cool.
I keep watching it. Yeah, I recorded it, and, you know, I keep watching it again. It was great. It was good battle on both sides and chances and hits, and, yeah, that was awesome.
Dude, so cool.
I mean, you obviously didn't come up with the gold, but would you rather that game end in overtime, not in a shootout?
Don't talk me about the shootout there. That should never. Honestly, it's an IHF rule, you know. But
it's ridiculous.
This should never end. You should never end a tournament in shootouts. I feel like they do that because like time wise, you know, in the semifinal, like they have a certain amount of time for the ice or something.
Yeah.
You know, when we're in minor hockey, but you know, on a big stage like that, and on a big games like that, it should never end up in a shootout, I think, personally.
No, I think most people are on board with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they change that at some point.
Yeah, no.
The shootouts are cool. Like, I will.
No, it's cool. I agree.
During like the NHL season and stuff, I know people don't love them, and I think there's a lot to be said for that, just to go like a 10 minute 3-on-3, but they're cool. It just should never come. That's more of a novelty. They should never happen.
You see, you can understand. I feel like in the NHL a little bit better because of the amount of games that we played. Like you know, some games would end up in fourth or fifth overtime sometimes. Right. I bet. So it's tough for their bodies. But in playoffs, you see, there's no shootout in playoffs, and there's a reason for it because
absolutely.
It's shouldn't be able to decide. Who's the best? Who played the best by skill competition? Even though it's awesome for the fan, it's tough to lose like that.
And then, so I got one other question from that, because you played with a ton of good hockey players on that team.
Oh my god, yeah.
But being a goalie, I mean, you can touch on any of those guys. Carter Hart is like kind of killing it in the NHL right now. What was it like playing with him?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I think he has a dry humor. I like his humor. He's a funny dude, and. Him and Inge were both great goalies, but it's good.
Oh, yeah,
it's good to see him. He's a really clutch guy, Hart. So he sized opportunities well, and I'm happy for him to have success in the NHL right now. He definitely deserves it, and he's a young goalie. It's really rare to see that at that age.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's like the closest thing to like a Carey Price type player.
Yeah, he's gonna be unreal in this league.
Start young and then just build a career.
So you guys made the Memorial Cup with St. John's the year after winning the Q, and you guys didn't win the Memorial Cup. But I don't want to talk about that exactly.
Got crushed.
I want to talk about you guys lost to Erie 12-5.
12-5.
What
dude.
The
I
hell
still
happened
get,
there?
I know, man. I honestly don't know what happened. We played our first game. We played brutal too against Windsor. And I can understand a little bit. They didn't play for a while, but when we got to Erie, we were just like, what the hell just happened here? 12-5, it was the most silence I've heard our team be in the room after a game. Like, it was embarrassing. I think it was 9-2 or 9-3 after a second. And you were just like, dude, I don't even want to go for the third period.
Yeah, what do you even
like,
say in the locker room after that?
It was, after the game, we're just like, boys, we got one game we got to go to the next one. Like, we got to win the next game. And, we got to take this one off and, leave it, because that was so embarrassing. And I still get chirped from Cirelli and Ratty about all the old guys about it, since Cirelli and Cernak in my team that just
great.
Crushed me at the Mem Cup. Yeah,
they'll never let you live that down.
Yeah, no. Try to help the queue a little bit, but that didn't help.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Talk about 2015, drafted by Tampa. What was that like for you? Were you there? I feel like
I was at the draft. Yeah, it was in Sunrise. It was so hot, dude. I remember I had my suit, and we were just in prep for going to the draft. And the first day, I knew I wasn't gonna get drafted in the first round. We just went. One of my friends was listed there, and we were living together. So we all went there for the draft that night. And actually, you met him. You know Jeremy Roy, right?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
So, he was listed close to the first round. So, obviously, he didn't get drafted in first round, but like first or second, he was real close. But, I remember going to the draft, like I had my suit on, and it was so hot middle June like that. It was just crazy hot, sweating, and it wasn't even my draft. But, that was great. Great draft. Actually, I have a funny story about that, about getting drafted that day. So there was like 40 people there at the draft maybe. And so with me the second day, and I got called 120th by Tampa or whatever, start hugging everyone and stuff, and they congratulate me, and then I kind of blacked out being drafted too. But it took around 3-4 picks, to go down. So obviously three other guys got drafted after me that we couldn't hear, because it's a little faster when it's the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Yeah.
And so I go down, follow the guy. The guy is asking me to follow him up. And so the first team in front of me is Buffalo. And Dan Bylsma, he saw me going down. I never met the guy. I never met him. And he stood up in front of me. He's like, "Welcome to Buffalo." Shook my hand.
What?
I'm like, yeah, I swear to God that happened.
What did you say?
Welcome
wait a second.
Welcome Buffalo. I'm like, blacked out, dude. You know, I just got drafted. I don't even remember. Like, I was just trying to follow, like, the guy in front of me. But he suddenly disappeared. And then Dine Basma shake my hand. And and then the whole organization stood up. And I'm going around the table of Buffalo shaking the scouts and, you know, the GM's hand. And I'm like, and the guy come back to me. He was already back there. And he's like, dude, you're not drafted by Buffalo. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys. Not drafted by you guys. And then I go to Tampa. Funny fact is, this year, I actually look up at the draft when I told that story to someone. And the guy that looked at me was like, we're almost identical. Drafted 3 picks after me. Like, so I can totally understand the misunderstanding there.
That's hilarious.
But they didn't know. Well, obviously, they just met the guy. So
yeah, right.
You know, that was funny. And when I thought about it after, it was hilarious.
That's unbelievable.
Dude, that's awesome. So, I mean, San Jose. So, Jeremy Roy, San Jose kid.
Yeah.
Awesome kid. Is he one of your buddies?
Yeah. Well, we played together for my whole minor hockey, basically, at home.
Nice.
He's still unbelievable hockey player, but he's
I must have talked to him about you. It's been a couple years now, dude.
For sure. But, you know, he's like I said, he's already still sick hockey player, but you know he was bigger than everyone when he's younger, and mm-hmm. he was unbelievable, like mm-hmm. you know, one of the best defensemen of the country. He went to all states and all that stuff, so
jeez,
you know, he just had a couple bad injuries that didn't help him, but you know, he's battling back right now, and he's having a really good season in San Jose.
Nice. So kind of getting right into Tampa Bay, and you spent a full season last year in the A for Syracuse. Just talk about kind of like your development down the A, and if, you know, what the communication was like for Tampa Bay, kind of being like, hey, you know, you're watching you play, we like, you know, how you're developing and stuff. Were they good about communication, or did they kind of just, you know, let you do your thing and talk to you at the end of the season?
Yeah, no, the Tampa is great for the development. You know, Stacey Rose there is awesome. He's texting you when you asking you if you need anything. He's coming a lot in Syracuse to help the guys. And you know, the Julian you know, was there too a lot. You know, he was the assistant DJ of Tampa, but it was a DJ of Syracuse, so he was there quite often. And you know, he's been great with the young guys and with me for the developing. And you know, they're talking to you a lot, and they're trying to help you. You know, we had Barbs and Tracy, two great skating coach that are coming decent amount too, and they actually came in Tampa too this year. You know, so we have a lot of tools, a lot of resources, and you know, they've been great about it. And you know, Ben Grew is hard on guys, but you know, he's been doing an unreal job with the young guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Stacey was awesome, dude. He was one of the nicest guys I met.
Yeah, he was. No, he's really nice, and you know, he's they care about their prospect a lot, and you know, I think that's how you see a world class organization, and they definitely are.
How many camps did you go to?
I think this year was my fourth one, maybe fourth camp.
Do you think that was kind of like your progression at camp had anything to do with? Obviously, it had a lot to do with it. But how did you see yourself progressing? I guess is the question. From like your
first, no, I think yeah, you're just nervous point. At first. Yeah, you're a little nervous at first. I remember your first camp down in Fort Myers, and you know, it was a little nerve-wracking. I remember being with Sorelli on the line, and you know, we were all kind of young there, and you know, you can see the guy's progression too from the other prospect, and you know how Sorelli you know, improved a lot too. And you know, you come into your first camp, you're almost intimidated, you know, you are. And it's a big stage, and you know, when you come at September and trying to you know, having your first preseason game, and then you know, that's how it happened. I didn't have one my first year. I had one my second year. I had two the year after, and then you know, this year I played 6 after my first pro year. And you know, I think they give you a chance, and you know, you have to take it. And you know, fortunately for me, at the beginning of the year, I think I had a good camp, and you know, I was able to find an opportunity.
Absolutely. What's this whole year been like? Just from the summer, you know, training and staying in touch with some of the guys, and then making, you know, the opening night roster. And just from day one, has it been a has it been a feel that you guys were just going to, you know, tear it up this season, or has it been kind of a progressive thing and then you guys just kind of started hitting your stride at a certain point, October, November, December? Just kind of talk about, I mean, it must be so fun coming to the rink every day with how awesome you guys are doing and how many games you're winning.
Yeah, definitely the atmosphere is unreal. I mean, the guys, we're having fun together, and I think that's the biggest thing in our team this year. I think the guy just wants to perform, but at the same time, have fun. And, you know, we're all guys that likes to play hockey, and, you know, I think the boys are just having fun showing up and, you know, trying to, you know, we knew we were going to have a good team at the beginning of the year, and we just had to live to the expectation. And I think the guys, like I said, were ready for it. And, but I wouldn't say we talked about or thought about the fact that we're gonna have a, you know, that great of a regular season, but you know, we kind of roll into streaks, you know. It happens that at one point we had 17 games and that we didn't lose in regulation. We're just like, holy, that's, you know, we got to keep buzzing, and we just kept buzzing, and you know, hopefully it's we'll bring that momentum for the next couple games before playoffs, and bringing that in playoff too.
Yeah, like when you guys met the Bruins, I think you were the first. It was the first time maybe in NHL history that two teams on 15 game point streaks or something like that had ever.
Yeah, I think we were 12-0-2 in the last 14, and they were like 10-0-4 or, you know, something like that. So we were, it was two teams that you know, wanted to win that game, and that was a. It was a battle, but you know, got to give them credit. That game in Boston, they played sick, and you know, it was a back to back for us. But you know, they were hard to play against, and you know, they were playing great.
Yeah, we're really hoping you guys, dude. That would be such an awesome playoff series between
for this.
You two.
Yeah, for this year, are the Bees, like, you know, I don't want to say like your biggest rival, but has that been like the best matchup so far this year in your opinion?
I don't know. I think we had a couple battle games against them so far. I think, you know, all close game except maybe that one in Boston, and but the Caps game were recently pretty crazy too. We, you know, we didn't play them until the last week or two all year, and that was some big games. I mean, that game in Washington was really awesome to watch as a fan probably, and you know, overtime win and, you know, nice big goal by Hedy, but. It's been battle against a couple of teams, and you know, the Caps are definitely another team in my mind that I'm thinking of you know, big rivalry game.
I think any game that you guys are playing has been fun to watch. You guys have such a young team too.
Yeah, we're pretty young too.
Cause you have, even from that year, that development camp year, like what was that, 4 years ago now, it's you, Ernie, Sorelli, and Point, right? All four of you guys. Is there anybody else I'm missing maybe?
Well, Cernak got traded, but he's our age as well.
Oh yeah, that's
right. Yeah, he was in LA, but you know, he's young too. He's in our range, and you know, even Vasilevsky isn't really old. Kucherov isn't really old. We have lots of young guys still in our team, and you know, even Stamkos, he's you know, Stammer and Killer, and they have Hedy. They have a bunch of years in the contract too. And, you know, they're not old at all. So
it's sickening. You know, it really is. Yeah.
I remember the trainers were talking about Vasilevsky, and he just is like a sicko in the weight room. Is he still crazy?
Yeah, no, he's a great guy, to be honest, but he's just an absolute competitor. Like, yes. He battles like crazy in practice, and, you know, he makes everyone better around him, not just in games, but also in practice, because he battles so hard. And, you know, you can't go on him, on, you know, down the chute on him and just expect that you're gonna score, because you know, he doesn't want to let you. And I think that's what's making him a good goalie. I think he battles really hard, and
he's a big boy, dude. He takes up a lot.
Oh, he's a big dude. Yeah, he's definitely a big dude.
Yeah.
So talking about some of the fun you guys are having, we got to get into this post game thing that Louis Domingue started to do. What's, you know, the origin of that and kind of how that started.
Honestly,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty funny actually. We're kind of all waiting to see what he's gonna do next, but you know, he just found some stuff, and you know, he's kept rolling. But at first, I think he was just fist bumping the camera, and then every time that song was, you know, we were winning a game, and He was fist bumping it, and you know, it was posted, and the fans started loving it on social media. So he just found some better stuff to do, and you know, he got really original, and I think it's pretty funny what he does.
I feel like a lot of these teams in any sport that end up winning a championship all start with, or not start with, but they have somebody, like a group of players or something, that have like a thing. Like the Red Sox last year winning the World Series, like their outfielders are doing the dances. Or, you know, I don't really have any other examples.
But some other guys do other stuff. I think, you know, Killer was just stares at the camera with eyes open, like pretty big. And, you know, some guys are doing stuff like that. And I think it's fun to watch. I mean, you know, we don't just play for ourselves. We also play for fans and for the people who are watching us. And, you know, that definitely brings a little bit of entertainment in the locker room and, you know, on social media after.
It's a little new school. I feel like the old school wouldn't really be into that as much, but
yeah.
It's like the younger, like almost our generation is kind of more social media driven, and they realize that interaction with the fans and social media is really important.
Yeah, I think it is, honestly. You know, we would have never seen something like the Hurricanes are doing before, you know, like some from this year. And, you know, some people don't like it and some people do, but I think if it helps them with, you know, more fans and having great entertaining with their fans and making the building louder and, you know, having a better atmosphere out there. I mean, why not? I think it's good for, like I said, we don't just play for ourselves. We play for people that, you know, are cheering for us. And, you know, every team wants to have great fans and, you know, they want to entertain their fans. So, you know, I think it's good to see that. And social media is a big part of life nowadays. So, you know, if you can use that to help the team, then, like I said, why not?
You've got a decent following on Insta.
Yeah, decent. It's all right.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. So, who are some of the, you know, the characters in the locker room? Are there, you know, some funny guys keeping it light and, you know, kind of what's your in the locker room? Quieter or cracking jokes or what?
No, I think it's... Guy. Yeah, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm a rookie, though. You know, you're not trying to do too much out there either. And I think we have a group, even though we're young, we have a great group of leaders. And, you know, guys like, you know, Stammer, Miller, you know, Callahan and Girardi and Coburn, they're all fun. They've been around for a bit now. And, you know, they're all funny guys. I think Girardi is one of the funniest guys I met. He's actually a clown. And, you know, that definitely helps the atmosphere in the room when you can make jokes and, you know, it just brings, it just calms everyone down. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere in the room when someone can make fun of stuff. And, you know, like I said, all these guys are guys that I would consider pretty funny. And that makes it fun in the room for sure.
Yeah, keeping it light.
Because I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to ask you on top of that, and you kind of, they both kind of alluded to it, you and Timmy, but. Like you're an outgoing kid, funny kid, but does being a rookie, do you kind of purposefully take a step back, or do you try to carve your role? How does that affect you?
I'm trying to stay my personality. Obviously, I'm not gonna be able to change myself like that. But you know, I'm obviously I don't want to take too much room. You know, it's not some, you're not coming in as a rookie and trying to. Be the cockiest guy in the locker room and stuff like that. So that's I wouldn't say I'd take a step back because, you know, I'm still staying in my personality, but definitely not trying to you know, try to get some more, too much room in the locker room and, you know, just trying to do my things and having fun with the guys, but at the same time, help the guys to win and the team to win.
Love that. Who are some of the older guys? Has any one person in particular or a couple of guys kind of taking you under their wing? I mean, you guys have a lot of young players, like you mentioned, but you also have a lot of guys that you also mentioned that have been around the block. Are there a couple of guys that have been really, really huge for you just kind of professionally developing this year and kind of going through your rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm soulmate with, you know, with Callahan, and I think he's been helping me a lot this year. And, you know, he's a guy that is really, really respected in our team too. So, you know, having him beside me in the locker room definitely helps. And, you know, I think in general they've all been really, really good to me. You know, I didn't know Miller before this year. It was the first time I met him, and Johnson. I didn't really have the chance to meet him, but I played with him in preseason. Definitely helped me. You know, I think Miller on the ice is helping me a lot too. You know, he's telling me advice and stuff, where to go, and you know how they can. When sometimes I play with him, and you know, it's been cool because you know he's helping me out there, and you know, some guys are doing extra time after practice too, and you know, Miller has been great with me, and you know, a couple guys that I can hang out you know off the rink too, you know, like we're going to dinner, and they've been welcoming me really well, and you know, guys like I said, Johnny, Palat, Gordo, you know, French guy, definitely helps. Seti's been, you know, one of my good hangout guy when we were off the you know, on the road and stuff like that, and he's been helping me a lot too. So you know, honestly, I wouldn't think about one guy in particular, but you know, all these older guys been awesome to me, and you know, they just really want their team to win, and you know, they care about the young guys too.
I feel like when you have as much success as you guys have had this year, you have to have a ton of good leaders. So it completely makes sense that you'd list off a bunch of guys. But elephant in the room, Kucherov is having the craziest year.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Dude, talk about what he's like. I mean, practicing with him.
Yeah, practice he must be. I mean, in games he's filthy, but practice must be like another thing, with just watching him every day.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that in other interviews, but, you know, the things he does sometimes in practice, you're just like, how the fuck, man? Like, the guys are on the bench, they're just like, whoa, like, that was crazy, man. And, you know, he's been practicing well, and, you know, no, pretty easy to understand why he's having the year he's having, because he's been so consistent in this game, and also he's been practicing hard, and, you know, he's a guy that, like I said, he can do, his magical hand, but his vision is something very impressive, and you know, he sees stuff that no one does on the ice in her team, and you know, we have obviously good players in your team as well, but he's been really impressive to watch.
Absolutely.
And he had 100 points last year. I didn't even realize that. So it's actually crazy to see
back to back 100 point season.
66 to 85 to 100 to 121. Maybe next year we get to 200.
We'll see about that.
That,
but
good for him.
You know,
he's good for the league, dude. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's doing some highlight plays that you know, like I said, not everyone in the league can do, and you know, it's been awesome watching him have the best seat in the game in at the ring to watch him do that. So you know, he's been fun to watch, and you know, he's been good for a team for sure.
What about him off the ice? Is he kind of the typical?
Yeah, he's a little bit more quiet.
Yeah, funny guy. Quiet.
Yeah, he's a little bit more quiet, but you know, he can be funny, and you know, you can tell. But he's business. He's business most of the time. But you know, he can still have fun, and you know, like I said, the atmosphere is good. So he's been having fun too.
Awesome,
dude. Talk to me about the playoff format. Do you? I know Stamkos spoke out about it. What do you think of this whole, like, win your division before you win the conference, and then
I think I have to agree with Stammer. You know, I think his opinion, the way he said it, was great too. I think, you know, you don't know what's gonna happen every year, but you know, I think I think it should be 1-8 and, you know, 2-7. I think the old format was a little better. But at the same time, you know, we can't really do anything about it now. But, you know, I think it could be unfair for some teams, you know, because some division can be better than other. Depends on the year, obviously. And, you know, Boston's having a really good season as well. And, you know, we're going to have to, it's either one of us, you know, that's going to leave in the first two rounds. So, you know, that's, I think it's
that's crazy.
Yeah, so Toronto was in there too, and you know, we, like I said, we never know what happened in playoffs. I'm not gonna bring that up, but I'm just saying, like, the fact that there's a possibility that we won't, one of us can you know, get out in the first two rounds is a little disappointing.
Have you heard the rumors of the possible format change. I know that's not really going around too much, but we talked about it a little bit in the ECHL last year, because the SPHL kind of starts with how, like, the NHL kind of uses the SPHL as a way to test rule changes out. Like, the 3-on-3 started in the SPHL.
Yeah.
And I think what they are trying, I believe they've gone to it now, is that they seed the teams 1 through 4, and then the top seed, or they seed them 1 through 8 technically, so 8 teams make the playoffs. The top team gets to pick which team from the bottom 4 teams they want to play. And then the second gets to pick from the rest, and the third.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
What do you think about that?
Nah, I honestly think it should be just ranking-wise, so, you know, the regular season matters a little bit more. I think, you know, the fact that if you're the first 4 team, that's maybe an advantage, maybe not. You know, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself by picking, I feel like,
absolutely,
the team that you're playing against. But at the same time, you know, the last 4 teams for playoffs, the regular season doesn't matter as much, because they, you know, they don't, they wouldn't necessarily matter where they at from 5 to 8, because they don't get to see who they're going to play. It's the team that would decide for them. So I think, I mean, it's an idea, but I don't think, you know, I'd rather have a format like 1-8 than this one, for sure.
All right. Sure. I like it. Kind of getting off the hockey topic. Who's the coolest non-hockey athlete that you've met, or the coolest just non-hockey celebrity that you've met?
This year,
like,
coolest,
like, is Drake hanging around the locker room or something? I feel like.
No, actually, I didn't really get. Let me try to think what we did this year, but no, I didn't really get to meet that many non-athlete people. I think, you know, I saw Zverev coming in the locker room talking to a Russian after the game. That was pretty cool. He's a great tennis player. He's ranked second or third in the world, and then I bet that was pretty cool to meet. But, you know, we went to a couple concerts this year, but didn't really have the chance to meet anyone.
All right, but there's definitely still time.
Yeah, I'd say once you,
yeah, I know,
you're establishing, I know, yourself now, and then you're going to be able to use that to just kind of meet some cool people and stuff.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would definitely be cool. I'm trying to think right now, because, you know, I know the guys went to one of the football games too, in for the Bucks, and, you know, I think I met a Bucks player too, that was when I went out one night, and, you know, it's pretty cool to see to get to meet other people, for sure.
Yeah. So for being from Canada, are you a big sports fan in general besides hockey, or, you know, basketball, baseball, football, or were you kind of, you know, hockey centric growing up?
No, I was actually a sports fan in general. You know, I love golf. You know, we watch a lot of guys in our team do too. So, you know, big golf fan, and, you know, basketball, I follow basketball a little bit. Football, I definitely do, since I'm in the States. But, yeah, you know, I in general, I was a tennis, golf, and hockey, probably, fans, well, sports fan.
You're in the right place for that, dude. Playing in Tampa Bay, you get to go outside and do that stuff all year round.
Yeah, that's cool.
Are you guys golfing during the season at all, or are you just taking it
easy? Yeah, no, we do. I golf a couple of times this year, and, you know, it's pretty cool to do golf in February.
I bet. What's your golf game looking like right now?
I'm not a bad golfer. I would say I'm a good golfer either, but I'm not I wouldn't say I'm a bad golfer. You know, I'm not nervous about going to play a game.
There you go.
Perfect. So, you know, I would play in around the 90. I would say around the 90s.
That's pretty good. Who's the best golfer on the Lightning that you've played with?
I think the best golfer in your team is either, I think it'd be between Killer, Miller, and Stamkos, maybe. These three guys are, they're good. They're good golfers.
They can swing it. Nice.
Yeah, Killer. I know Killer plays a lot, so he's a big fan too. But I know I didn't play with Millsy this year, but no, I heard him and Stammer are really good golfers as well.
Did you? Were you able to play? Did your dad get to come down and play some golf and watch the games?
Yeah, exactly. He came with my mom. My mom was actually stuck at home, and she was like, "All right, I'm coming too." She was supposed to stay home, but she said,
good,
I'll just go to the beach too. But yeah, right, yeah, no, yeah, I got to, yeah, 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 exactly.
Did you guys sorry, did you guys do a dad's trip this year at all?
Yeah, that was cool, actually. That was really cool. We went to Nashville and Philly. And we get to know all the dads at dinner. And, you know, we had a little get-together there in Nashville. We had a full day off. So that was really cool. I think, you know, that was a great experience for my dad and I. But, you know, meeting the other guy, the resemblance on the guy's faces too, that was that's pretty funny to see personalities of the dads and stuff. That's pretty awesome.
I bet. Yeah, but they're having a better time for sure. They're like, you know, kids in a candy store.
Yeah, exactly.
I think and Nashville dad, for boot, dude. You know they do that on purpose.
Yeah, we had a perfect schedule for that. And, you know, first of all, I think Nashville is one of the coolest places to play too. The atmosphere is unreal. And, you know, it's really fun. But also, you know, the fact that all the dads were there and we were able to have a day off with them was awesome.
Besides Nashville, what are some of your other favorite, you know, road trips or just places to play?
Yeah, I mean, I really loved Chicago. I think Chicago was awesome rink to play. So loud out there. You know, Vegas was cool. Vegas was crazy. It was some in the warm up. It's probably the loudest place for music in the league.
I bet.
And yeah,
but do you guys go right to the hotel and right to the rink, or do you guys get to go out a little bit in Vegas?
No, in Vegas. We didn't go out. We didn't go out in Vegas, but you know, we got to eat. You know, we got to see the city a little bit. And the night before we got there, but no, we didn't get to go out there.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah,
sure, it's gonna happen.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. Not too bad. So we're kind of out of questions, hockey related and otherwise. But we do have one last one that we asked to all of our guests, and it's a bit of a weird one, but bear with us here. So, would you rather, for the rest of your life, have a popcorn kernel stuck in the back of your throat, or for the rest of your life, have permanent Cheetos fingers?
Permanent in your throat, you mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
One of these two?
Yeah, so the popcorn kernel is stuck in your throat, permanent rest of your life. Forever. Or you get Cheetos fingers.
And if you, like, lick the Cheetos off, it comes right back.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I don't really like Cheetos that much, but I don't like the popcorn thing, but in my throat. So I would have to go with the Cheetos.
Yeah, probably. Good call, that a boy.
You don't like Cheetos. Yeah. What are you doing,
Maddie? That's the right answer. I'm proud of you.
It's the right answer, right? But
yep. Yeah,
no, I could not live with the fact, dude. I swallow pills and I feel that doesn't go down. It pisses me off, so I can't even think about that.
Yep, couldn't agree more, dude. I've had a popcorn kernel stuck in the back of my throat, and it's the worst. Everybody has. It's the worst feeling in the world. Timmy thinks that somehow that would be a better life decision, but
because like, just Matt, just picture Tech trying to text somebody with Cheetos fingers.
Yeah, but that's not even a good. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Too much.
It's a good question because a lot of people are back and forth, so I'm gonna stick with it. But
yeah, I know.
That's a great choice.
Tough question. Tough question, though.
Good way to end the pod, dude. We've had you. This has been about 50 minutes, man. We really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, no, it's been awesome, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Absolutely, and good luck the rest of the way, and we'll be watching you in playoffs.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll be pulling for you, dude.
All right, perfect.
All right, man. Take it easy.
See you, Maddie.
See you guys.
That interview was brought to you by State and Liberty. State and Liberty was founded to develop the perfect dress shirt for athletes. Off-the-rack dress shirts are made for the masses, not for somebody with an athletic build. They provide more room in the upper body with an extremely tailored waist, catering to those with a V-shaped body type. Not only are these shirts stretchy and comfy, but they're crazy low maintenance. The shirts are wrinkle-free, machine washable, and hang dry in about 20 minutes. Guys, I am not kidding. I heard nothing but great stuff about this company, and I finally went in and got myself a dress shirt and a pea coat. They are my two favorite clothing items in my closet right now. If you've never shopped at them before, head over to stateandliberty.com and use our promo code POSTGAMESHAKE for 10% off today. Do it.
That was our interview with Tampa Bay Lightning forward Matthew Joseph. He's a stud forward for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he was a stud interview. Timmy, what'd you think?
Stud, just a stud all around. Stud. Love the accent too. More power to him that he learned English in like when he's 16 or 17, and to be able to kind of hold a conversation like that, I don't think I mean, I don't know how hard it is to learn a second language. So more power to him. And it was a great conversation. Obviously, we'll be following the playoffs closely, but even more so now that we interviewed him, and the Lightning are obviously a wagon this year. So we'll see how they do come postseason time.
Yeah, it's like the Patrice Bergeron thing. I mean, when he first came into the league, he couldn't speak a lick of English, and now he's fluent. If you ever had a conversation with Patrice Bergeron, fluent. And Matthew's obviously getting there. he's pretty close. He's got good English. And I actually forgot how much of an accent he had. So it was kind of funny to talk to him. It's been a few years.
Yeah, definitely came out more when he was telling like some stories and stuff, and when it wasn't back and forth. But still a great conversation, and hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed having him on.
Yeah, a little bit of a conflict of interest now. Like, I'm a Bruins fan. I know you're a Colorado fan. So Colorado's in the mix, obviously. The Bruins could end up playing those guys round two. I'm a Bruins fan, but I don't know. I got a couple guys on Tampa that I'd like to root for. Obviously, Matty being one of them.
Yeah, it makes it like you said, a conflict of interest, but also kind of makes it so that a lot of what happens, we will be happy with the result.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yep.
You know, you're kind of like 1-16. Now we're like, 5-16, which whatever happens. Well, not whatever happens, but a lot of ways we'll be happy with the result. So. Obviously it will be an exciting couple of weeks, actually a couple of months. Playoffs are in a couple of weeks. They last a pretty long time. So
yes, they hopefully, do. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully they can make a deep run. And as we joked about before, obviously a post game shake bump wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
No, I know. Maybe we end up doing like a Stanley Cup tour or something. Who knows?
Oh, that would be sweet. Have us down there to Tampa. That'd be awesome. But
yeah,
to move on from that, I want to talk about something that I believe you have tomorrow night, which is a company hockey game. Before you get into it, as everybody knows, and if people don't know, Muzz is a goalie, and they already have goalies. So he's skating out, and he jokingly, but kind of serious, guaranteed that he would score 4 goals, then walked that back very, very quickly to 1 goal. So is the current confidence level is that you're going to score at least 1 goal tomorrow night?
There's a lot of different factors that go into it. One of them being how hard everybody goes. I don't know the skill level, first of all, of the tournament or this little – it's a 2-hour session. I don't know the skill level. If it's the skill level I think it's going to be, I think I'm going to be able to put a couple in the back of the net.
So I played in a company hockey game last year at my old company, and the skill level wasn't great, but a lot of guys – haven't played like really competitive hockey since I don't want to say high school, because they probably played some sort of men's league, but maybe not. And this could be like their time to shine. Like, are people's families coming? Like, guys' wives have never seen them play hockey, and that's all they probably talk about. They're gonna be going balls to the wall, and you're gonna get out there and you're like, God damn, why are people trying so hard? At least that was my experience. And it's a lot harder when people are trying as hard as they can, because you're like, I don't want to go 100%, but if I'm going to score, I got to go 100%.
Right. If people are going 100% and like forechecking, I will panic. I will be able to do nothing. I'll be awful. But I feel, as you disagree, that my roller hockey ability carries over, like skill-wise, stick handling a little bit. Like, I kind of can see the game at a slower roller hockey pace, and I'll be able to keep up and probably do pretty well. But if guys are pressuring me on the puck, I have no chance.
Yeah, so
I can't control a hockey puck with a player stick.
I'm less confident than you are. Obviously, you're one of the most confident people I know. But I think it's going to be the skating, and people are going hard, and then everybody can skate. That's going to be the hardest part, is be going to do it all in one. If people can't skate and just like a stick handling contest, I think you'll actually be okay. But I'm banking on people being able to actually skate and play hockey. So I really am interested. Now, I have a men's league game tomorrow night too, or else I would try to convince some people to come and watch it and videotape it. It'd be great content for the podcast, but you lucked out this time.
That would be great content. At some point, this is one of those things that would be great for what we're doing.
Yeah.
Almost Barstool-esque, but you got to respect what they're doing. They're doing things the right way, and if we copied them a little bit, then great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we need a download next week of how the game went. You know, you need to, give us a real time.
I'll be honest, and I'll tell you exactly how it went. And you know, maybe I get a couple garbage goals and I don't feel as good about myself, or maybe I get one really nice goal and I'm like, you know what, that was worth it, you know?
Yeah. Hey, a goal's a goal. 2 hours is a long time, so that might vote in your favor.
Yep, we might have to do a points per hour basis or something. We'll see. We'll figure it out. I think it'll make more sense after I play, and then we'll be able to circle back. Okay, cool. Let's move on. What do we got? We want to talk about March Madness, or?
Oh, we kind of talked about it a little bit. I think it's cool that it's not all the kind of blue blood teams. Michigan State's a pretty blue blood program, but Texas Tech and Auburn getting to the first ever Final Four is awesome. I think that's just so cool. And then Virginia getting back to the Final Four for the first time since 1984. And of course, after what happened last year, losing to a 16 seed and the coach famously saying, this is your legacy. Like, you have to embrace it and use it to motivate you after they lost last year. And for those kids to kind of come back and get to the Final Four, I just think is a really cool story. So I'm just happy it wasn't all one seeds and it wasn't all the teams that everybody predicted from the beginning of the tournament.
I couldn't agree more. And one of my friends from Scituate offered a bet to our fantasy football league. $50. He gets all the one seeds and we get the field. And I almost took it, but on the principle of the fact that he wouldn't give us any discount to be like a 40 to 50 type deal, because it's just like a 70, 60 something percent chance of the one seeds winning, I didn't take the bet. And I wish I took it, because right now it's looking great.
It is looking good right now. Of course, after you say that, like we'll be recording yeah, right. Next Monday in Virginia, we'll like win the championship and you'll be like, wow, I'm glad I didn't take that bet. But
right. Yeah.
That's obviously for this weekend. I don't there's nothing else that I wanna touch on from March Madness. I just think it's awesome, you know, how it ended up turning out, like I said.
The only other thing I wanted to talk about in the hockey version of March Madness, I joined an NCAA bracket pool, which is a lot of fun. NCAA hockey. And
thanks for the invite.
Yeah, sorry. But if it makes you feel any better, it started Friday. I got the first three games right. Then St. Cloud State got beat by AIC, and my bracket just completely imploded. And by Sunday morning, I had zero teams remaining in the field.
No way.
Yeah, so there were – and it goes quick. But as of Sunday morning, there were six teams left. Two had already punched their ticket to the Frozen Four, and the other four were playing for the last two, and I had none of those six teams.
You didn't go with UMass, huh?
Nope. I thought they were going to be – they're new to the dance. I thought that might affect them, and I took my chances on Arizona State. I should have gone the other way around, obviously. Hindsight's 20/20. But I was like, wow, after all that talk with my March Madness bracket, my NCAA hockey bracket is dead before my March Madness brackets are.
Yeah, the sport that we – you know, somewhat know more than all the other ones. No, granted, we don't watch college hockey, so
right.
You're kind of just taking a shot in the dark. But yeah, it is funny that the sport that we're most knowledgeable in was your worst picking. But hey, that's kind of the way it goes, right? I mean, you could have gotten no. I bet if you were to talk to everybody who filled out a college hockey bracket, less than 1% picked AIC to beat St. Cloud State. So
yeah, we had one person, I think, out of like 50 pick them.
Yeah. That's crazy.
If you want an invite into the playoffs, the NHL playoffs bracket, I can get you in there.
There you go. Love that.
Making up for it.
Awesome. I know we were disappointed you didn't get to come play golf with us on Saturday. So I played in my first round of the year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty. We only got 16 holes in. The thing that I was most disappointed in is how bad my chipping was. The thing I was most impressed with was how good my putting was, which is usually the opposite way around. I was putting pretty well, but I'm telling you that when you lose the touch of like, you know, those finesse shots, like, let me try to paint a terrible picture for you that the first four times I had to chip like around the green, I chipped completely across the green all four times. So I would go from chipping like for my third or fourth shot, go all the way across the green. And I'm just like, wow. And I'm like laughing at this point. There's no point in getting mad because it's like March, but it was not pretty.
Yeah. I meant to ask you, I was going to text both you guys and see how you did. And then I forgot, but I told you, I think we talked about this. I'm going to play one round of golf. And then instead of my second round, just to get the cobwebs off, I'm going to treat myself to an hour lesson at Widow's Walk Golf Course in nice. Scituate. I need it. I'm done trying to treat. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do something similar. I think I might go – I might play one more time, but something similar to that, try to get ready for the season. But, I mean, yeah, it wasn't it wasn't pretty. Now, granted, the course wasn't in great shape either. They spray painted the greens. That was kind of funny, but
what a joke, dude.
Yeah. So
whatever. Good news is it's golf season. That's sweet. The fact that we get to talk about playing golf, awesome.
I know it is awesome.
And it's supposed to snow Wednesday, so
love that. I think it's just this week, and then next week is supposed to be, you know, good from here on out. So we just gotta brave through a couple more days.
Cool. Sounds good to me, man. I'll see you on the course soon. No, I got nothing else I want to talk about except elbow's feeling better, so I might be on the course soon.
Good. Glad to hear that. The only other thing that I want to touch on is something that we meant to bring up last time. So a guest of the show, Brady Florent, want to give him a little shout out. He finished his illustrious Division III career with 61 goals, 120 assists, and 181 points, which is just kind of mind-blowing numbers. Three-time All-American, two-time Joe Concan Award winner, and he signed an ATO with the Atlanta Gladiators of the ECHL. They are currently tied or a point out of the playoffs picture right now with three games left. So best of luck to him the rest of the way. I know he had his first career point and his first career goal in his first weekend a couple weekends back. So as someone say, nice little post-game shake bump. So just best of luck to him the rest of the way.
We're happy for him. Come on the podcast and good things happen to you.
Exactly. So if you're listening, hey, don't be afraid to ask.
But if you don't bring anything to the table, don't ask.
Yeah, just go. So that about wraps it up, no?
Yeah, that was a good episode. Great interview. And then, yeah, it's a good time of year, man. NHL playoffs are around the corner. We're going to have some fun soon.
Absolutely. Masters 2 weekends away. NHL playoffs, warm weather, golf, a lot of good things on the horizon. And hopefully some better content as well. We shall see.
Hell yeah. All right, cool. Let's get out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening. As always, listen, like stuff on Instagram. Check us out on all those social media platforms, 5-star rating, all that good stuff.
Honestly, tell us how much you love us, and then we'll just keep getting better.
Absolutely. Thanks again for listening, and see ya.
Peace.